Take your Bibles
and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 in the Word of God tonight. You may have seen one of the pictures in the slide and wondered why everybody was on their knees combing through the campground. And many of you may not have heard, but interesting story is one of the days I lost my ring. I was cleaning some greasy stuff and my ring came off and noticed it, and right away everybody just started combing through the field and area where we thought we lost it, and couldn't find it. I had to run a metal detector, and by the grace of God we were able to find it. But you may have been concerned what they were doing, you know, on their knees. You thought maybe it was a concentration camp or something like that. No, that was a great time. Good memories. All right, Romans chapter 12. Last time I preached, we looked and digged into Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Such rich things that we find in that passage. But it doesn't stop there. The truth just rolls, of course, into verse 2. And these two verses, I think, are such a foundational verses for the Christian life. And the familiarity of them should never be worn off, because there is such important truths that are key to success in the Christian life. And I want us to just focus our attention tonight on verse number 2 of Romans chapter 12. And some truths here that I want us to look at, and I trust will be a help and a challenge for us tonight as we look at God's Word. Romans chapter 12, I'll begin reading in verse 1 and I'll read through verse 2. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I want to look at living a transformed life. How to live a transformed life. And Paul here is built throughout the whole book of Romans up to this point, has built a great foundation on what the gospel is, on salvation and how a person is saved and the mercy of God. He says in verse 1 there, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." So basing these truths are based off of everything that he has explained in these previous chapters. And based on the mercies of God that are evident through all those chapters, he now comes to these truths as really a response to what Paul has explained and given in those chapters. And in verse 1, because of the mercies of God, he says, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice." Well, if we are going to be a living sacrifice, and we looked at that last time I preached, you may not remember that, but I do. A living sacrifice, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, then, as it says in verse 2, we cannot be conformed to this world. And like I said, these verses are built off of the previous chapters where Paul in great details explains the mercy of God in salvation. And his earnest beseeching and pleading comes as a result of the mercy of God that God has displayed. And his pleading continues into verse 2. And there are two commands that we see here in this verse. The first is, be not conformed to this world. And Paul is saying, if we are going to be a living sacrifice for God, then we cannot be conformed to this world. Our life cannot take that shape that matches and is congruent with the world. He says, be not conformed to this world. He gives that command, be not conformed to this world. And it starts there with that word "and," which ties us in with the previous verse. And based on the same reason we see in verse 1, the mercy of God, he says, be not conformed to this world. Now, that word "conformed," I think, is a picturesque word. It paints a picture in our mind. many of us have seen or know of little creatures or animals that can conform to the setting in which they're in. And they just blend in with the setting. Well, that's the same idea here of being conformed to this world. It means to form or mold after something. And Paul is saying, do not form yourself or mold yourself after this world, after this age in which we are living in. And he gives that command. And you know what? There is a form that looks like the world. And Paul is saying, don't look like that. Don't form yourself. Don't conform to the look or the direction of this world, this age. You know what? I've heard people say, and this is just kind of an application of this truth, because you know, people will say, well, it doesn't matter how I live or what I do. Well, it really does matter, actually. Because Paul says, be not conformed to this world. So however we are living, however we are living and acting in our life, it ought not to be conformed to this world. So that is a very important truth. Conformed. Be not conformed to this world. Don't take the shape. Don't take that mold that looks like the world. You know, as a Christian, and as Paul is trying to get across this point here, because of the mercy of God, this is the opposite direction of that we should be going as Christians. We shouldn't be going the direction of the world. We've been saved. We've been delivered out of it. He's saying, don't be conformed to that. And as we'll see in a little bit, it says to be transformed. And such an important aspect here. But the being conformed to the world, that's the opposite direction that we should be going as Christians. Paul is saying, don't be conformed. Be the opposite of that. You know, that's the wrong direction. If we're going that direction, we're going the wrong direction. He says, don't be conformed to it. How we as Christians must and ought be to be careful that our lives are not conforming to this world. You know, this is a plain command that Paul gives us, the Word of God gives us here tonight. Our lives, nothing in our life, as the Spirit of God gives us, sheds light on it, should be in any way conformed or taking the shape or the mold of this world. You know, and as Christians, Paul's just gone through, we've been delivered from that. The mercy of God has saved us out of that. We need to be different. We shouldn't be looking like the world or conforming to it. Turn over to James chapter 4. And here's another verse that kind of hammers this truth in. James chapter 4 and verse 4, we see here the same truth that the world is not what the Christian ought to be living for. He should be different. The Bible says here, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Boy, we need to be careful in our lives and what we allow into our life, what we do with our life, that we aren't paralleling our life with the world. We need to be separate. We need to be different. It says, be not conformed. 1 John 2:15, we've heard that verse a few times in the last few weeks. But another great truth that says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And that same truth, the same principle that the world should be separate, should be distinct from the life of a Christian. So we see this command, this first command that Paul gives, to be not conformed to this world. But earlier in the book of Romans, I think it's neat, Paul tells us what we should conform our life to. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, here Paul gives us insight to what a believer's life should be conformed to, what it should look like. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. Our life should be representative of Jesus Christ. It should be, in a sense, conforming to him and who he is, his life. How he would live and act. not conforming to the world, but conforming to Jesus Christ. I wonder this evening, is that the case with your life? Are you conforming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He the one you're seeking to emulate or to copy with your life? Or is the world that which you are conforming to? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And the same word that is used in Romans chapter 12 when it says, be not conformed, is used here in 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and it's not the word conformed, but that same Greek word is used there. As obedient children, here it is, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or lifestyle or behavior. That word, fashioning yourselves, is the idea of conforming. And He says, as obedient children, you know, disobedient children are the ones that conform themselves to this world, to the former lusts. But He says, as obedient children, not conforming or not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts. In other words, don't let your actions, don't let your life portray that of the world, of an unbeliever, of who you were before you were saved. He says, "You be an obedient child and don't fashion yourselves to those former things." But He says, as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. And that goes right there with that verse, that command in Romans 12, to be not conformed to this world. Who's more important to you tonight? The Lord Jesus Christ or the world? The things of this world, having things your way, the things that are in this world, are those more important? Are those more important? And are we more concerned about those than the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we have a closer relationship with those things than a relationship with Jesus Christ? Paul here says, be not conform to this world. Your life will never be a living sacrifice. Your life will never be used by God if it's conformed to this world. It's no longer a living sacrifice. It's nothing. It's no longer something that's holy and acceptable unto God because it's tainted by the world. So he says, be not conformed to this world. Paul continues then and says, but be ye transformed. That next command, to be transformed. Now, the word for transformed here is the word that we get our English word metamorphosis from. And and it means to transform or change the inward reality. And you know what? That's what God's about. He's not just something on the outside. He wants the inside. He wants the inward part of us transformed to be made new. And that's what the idea here of transform. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, to changed by, from the inside out to be transformed. When we were younger, my mom and us would often look for, I forget the kind of the caterpillar, but it produced a monarch butterfly. And we would look for the milkweed and we would find butterflies and we would take them and put them inside. And we would just watch them. And over a little period of time, after a little while, they would go and start forming a cocoon. They would hang from the bottom of the leaf. And they would go and start doing whatever they do. And they go into that cocoon. And over a period of time, they come out. That thing, butterfly comes out of that. It's transformed. It's metamorphosized into a new thing. And that's the idea here of being transformed from the inside. And I remember that many times as a young kid, we would do that and get many of them. And throughout the summers, we would watch those things. But that's the illustration here. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, be metamorphosized, changed. And Paul is saying, don't conform to this world, but rather be transformed, be changed inwardly and made a new person. that work that God has begun through salvation. Let Him do the full working. Let Him continue to transform and make you into a new person. There's other places in the Word of God where that word is used, and I think it's helpful for us to see those because it gives us more insight on that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, we see this word used as well. It says in verse 18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." That word, changed, is that same word, metamorphosized. And the Word of God in this verse has the power to transform us, to change us. And that's the idea that's being pictured there. Turn over to Matthew chapter 17. We see this word used as well. With Jesus in the Transfiguration in each of the Gospels, we see this used. It's the idea of being transfigured. In Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, it says, "After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." Jesus' transfiguration is the same idea there of being transformed that we find in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Our life is to be transformed, to be changed by the renewing of your mind. And that is how this transformation takes place. Paul continues there and says, "Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So how does this transformation take place? Well, it's by the renewing of your mind. Why is it so important that we are transformed? He says, "But be ye transformed." Why is that so important? Well, turn with me to the beginning of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. All of us are sinners. We're born sinners. We're born separated from God because of our sin. And when we turn from God, when we are, well, obviously we're born sinners and separated from Him. Verse 28 describes what takes place in that condition as we turn from God. In verse 28 it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And in Romans 12, Paul says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And there in Romans 1:28, he says he gave them over to a reprobate mind. You see, when we got saved, we needed our mind renewed. We needed it transformed and changed. And that's why it's important and why Paul is stressing to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. One commentator said, "It is a mind that is unqualified in assessing the truth about God and the world He has made." Now Paul asserts the purpose of our being transformed by the renewing of the mind is that this state might be reversed. So the corruption, the direction that the sin brought, and the curse of sin upon our mind, now salvation through the mercy of God and our mind being renewed and transformed, that way, that state can be reversed. And that's why it's so important that we are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everything starts here in the mind, the inner being of the person. And that's why it's important that that is renewed. You know, and until we get to heaven, we need our mind renewed. It's going to continually need to be worked on and conformed and to the image of God and changed according to the Word of God. And that's why it's so important that our minds are renewed by, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, it's important for us to understand how it is our minds can be renewed or corrected. And God, there really are two instruments that God uses to renew our minds. And those two things are the work of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God that He uses. Those two tools are the key in our minds being renewed and corrected, and the wrong thinking being taken out and the right thinking being placed in. And we don't have time right now to go through some of the other parts here in Romans, but in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about the work of the Spirit of God in a person's life and the importance of that. It is the Spirit of God that indwells the believer. And in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, we see it's Him that works in us. Verse 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." It's the Spirit of God that is seeking to work in a yielded believer's life and transform them. The idea there is sanctify, set them apart, make them more holy. And that is how our mind is renewed, by the Spirit, the work of the Spirit of God. And you know, that's why it's important for us to be yielded to the Spirit of God, to allow Him to show us, to point out areas of need in our life. He's seeking, as we listen to Him, to renew us, to transform us through His working in us. And that's why it's important that we don't quench the Spirit of God, that we don't push Him aside, but that rather we're yielded to Him and allowing Him to work in our life. So it's the work of the Spirit of God and the work of the Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." So it's the Word of God that has a purifying effect on a person's life. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. And we see in Hebrews chapter 4 the effect of the Word of God and the power of it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. "For the Word of God is quick, it's alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God is that tool that God uses to reshape our thinking, to reverse the damage that has been done, so to speak, by sin in our life. So Paul is saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here it shows the importance of us being in the Word of God, of us being under the preaching of God's Word, because it's quick, it's powerful, it can change our life. It's what God uses to change our life. And of course, the Spirit of God works in agreement with the Word of God. So those things are show how important it is. If our life, if our mind is going to be renewed, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to let it impact us and change us. And our thinking needs to be in agreement with the Word of God. So, how does the transformation take place? Well, it's by the renewing of your mind. How are you doing tonight at renewing your mind? Being in the Word of God, allowing it to change you, allowing it to transform us into who God wants us to be. As you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, you are then enabled to discern those things which are right. And that's what Paul continues on by saying, "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Why? What's the purpose? "That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The purpose of being transformed, of our life, of our mind being renewed, is so that we can prove or discern the will of God. Proving the will of God means to understand and agree with what God wants of us with a view to putting it into practice. Our mind needs to be renewed. It needs to be shaped by the Word of God so that God can show us what He wants of us and how we need to change and how he wants to use us. He says that ye may prove, or that ye may discern what is good. You know, there's a lack of discernment today amongst God's people. Many of God's people. Because their light, their mind is not being renewed. And as it's being renewed, we can discern what's good. We can say, you know what, that's good, that's wrong. And that's important for the life of a Christian if he's going to be pleasing to God. He needs to be able to discern what is good and what is not good. He can discern what's acceptable and what is pleasing and to God and perfect to God. You know what? God has a plan for each of our life. He has a will. He has a specific plan for your life. And we will not fully accomplish what God has if our minds are not being renewed through the Word of God. If we aren't being transformed. If we aren't living that life with that kind of attitude. Living life with that kind of attitude of being transformed and allowing God to change us. With our life being renewed by the Word of God and the Spirit. Wow, what an important thing. An ability as a Christian to be able to discern that which is good and acceptable and perfect to God. You know, maybe in your life, your mind has not been renewed. You haven't been transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as a result, it's allowed things to creep into your life that are not good. That is not part of the will of God for your life. And you know, we get into a dangerous situation, a dangerous place, when we are not close to God, when we are not able to discern what's good, when we're not able to see, okay, that has the fingerprints of the world on it. That's not pleasing to God. That's conforming me to this world. You know, as Christians, we need to be able to discern. That is such an important thing. We need to be able to prove, okay, is this right? Is this wrong? Is this what God wants? If not, I need to get it out of my life. And that comes through our minds being renewed. So here, this simple verse with simple, profound truths, how is it impacting and changing your life tonight? He says, be not conformed to this world. Are you obeying that command here tonight? To be not conformed to this world. Maybe here at church it looks good, but what about in your heart? Or when you're not around God's people? Are you conforming to the world? Or are you obeying this command? That command to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is that taking place in your life? And then tonight, how are you doing at discerning that which is good and acceptable and perfect before God? I wonder here tonight what the Spirit of God is showing you. Are you allowing Him to shape your life? Are you allowing the Word of God to transform you and to renew your mind? You know, I don't know what it is in your life here tonight. But if it's an area of worldliness, you know what? We will never be used of God. We'll never be a living sacrifice if we are conforming to this world. We will never be used how God wants us to. And then it ought to be a daily habit and a pattern of our life to be renewed, to allow our minds to be renewed. You know, if we aren't spending time in God's Word, our minds is not going to get renewed. You know, we are bombarded by the world throughout the week. We're in worldly places, you know, even just going to the stores and maybe to work. You know, we need the Word of God to transform us, to renew our minds. And friend, if the Word of God is not an important part of your life and not a priority, you know what? You are going to get off track. And it is important for us to be able to discern what is right, what God's will and plan and what He desires for us. You know, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to be renewing our mind so that we can live a transformed life. And can I urge you here tonight, really the application from this verse is allowing ourselves to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that takes place through the Word of God and the working of the Spirit of God. And so tonight, can we be encouraged and stirred to allow the Word of God to have a greater priority, greater part in our life. And when we are in God's Word, is it a meaningful time? Is it transforming us? Is it changing our thinking? Are there times where we see, okay, that needs to go in my life? That's not pleasing to God. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Lord, tonight, this great truth, Lord, I'm sure I've done injustice, but Lord, I trust your Spirit would take this truth and use it in each of our lives, Lord. May we all be honest before you. May we allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to do the work that you desire to transform us, to make us a public and vivid demonstration of a life that's been transformed, that's different, that's no longer conformed to this world, a person whose mind is being transformed, that's being renewed, and the wrong things are being taken out and the right things put in. Lord, may our life be a living testimony of that taking place. And Lord, whatever it is in each person's life here tonight that needs to be dealt with, we pray your Spirit would give light, that they would be willing to allow you to do that work in their life. And Lord, we thank you for this truth. We trust you to use it in each heart here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.